Gee, I've got a whole chapter. Look out. Revelation 5. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessing." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honour and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped.
It's a great joy to be here this morning to unpack this passage. I recently attended a professional development seminar looking at positive psychology, the positive psychology movement, and the church. The positive psychology movement is very popular in our schools at the moment. It embraces concepts such as the importance of gratitude, of the importance of resilience. It advocates a need for a growth mindset and a strong sense of self-esteem. There are strengths and weaknesses of this approach to youth mental health, but it's the concept of placing a high value on self-worth that interests me today. Because I was once reading an article that was picking up on these issues and using them to critique the church. One of the things the author took particular offence to was the prayer of preparation in our prayer book. This is an optional prayer in the communion service. We don't often use it at 10:30, but we pray it every week at 9 a.m., as do a great many churches. Well, the prayer of preparation goes like this. "We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy." Well, the writer of the article considered it a terrible thing that you would have people saying week by week, "We are not worthy." The author thought this would lead to poor self-esteem and would crush a person's sense of self-worth. But I have to say, I disagree. The concept that we are not worthy, if that's all we had, would indeed be bleak. But our unworthiness is only one small part of the picture. We are not worthy, but there's someone who is, the Lamb who was slain. And in him we find our worth and our place. With that in mind, we can turn to the passage at hand. So whenever I read through the book of Revelation, there's a verse in this chapter that always really grabs me. Here we have this amazing scene. We kind of heard the details of the scene last week. God is on the throne and he's shining and it's like he's covered in jewels. There is a rainbow encircling the throne. There are 24 elders on thrones wearing crowns surrounding the one on the main throne. There are these four strange living creatures with wings and eyes who are worshipping. And everyone is worshipping the one on the throne. And in front of the throne is a glassy sea, a sea of stillness with not one trace of chaos. And it's into this scene that we enter in today's reading. John notices that the one on the throne is holding a scroll that is sealed with seven seals. John doesn't know what's inside the scroll, but he senses that opening it is really important. Yet here is the tragedy. A mighty angel asks, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And the answer is that no one is worthy. No one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth was worthy to open the scroll. And here is the line that always grips me. John says, "And I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it." John senses that this is important, and the lack of anyone worthy brings him grief. Who is worthy? Who is worthy? Is there anyone worthy? Now, many of us here today may have felt something of this emotion on a less cosmic scale just yesterday. I know that I did. I'm standing there in the ballot box and I'm looking at this list of available names. Who is worthy of my vote? And who is worthy of representing my electorate in Canberra? And as I look at the list of names and candidates on my lower house sheet, I did want to weep because I truly despaired of who to vote for. And the more I researched the candidates, the more despair I felt rather than less. The more I found out about them, the more I knew. None of these seem worthy. But those are the choices I was stuck with. All across our world, we face so many challenges. We face challenges in our nations and challenges in our relationships. We face challenges with our environment and challenges with our economy. Challenges in our social structures, challenges to our freedom, challenges in the divisions of our world. Who is worthy to fix these? Who can we turn to heal the brokenness of our world? For as long as we look among humanity, we can only weep, because none of us is worthy to fix that brokenness. John saw there was no one worthy to open this scroll that was held by the one on the throne, and John wept. But one of the elders said to John, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And then John saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered. And the lamb went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one seated on the throne. And at that moment, all the creatures before the throne began to sing, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on the earth." And then John saw that tens of thousands of angels came and stood around the throne. Tens of thousands upon thousands. And they sang with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessing. And the worship scene is not yet complete. That from a song by the heavenly court, we had this song by the thousands of angels, and now John heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and everything in the sea and all that is in the sea all join the singing. To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honour and glory and might forever and ever. And the elders fell down and they worshipped. In many parts of Revelation, John seems to be scratching for the right words. He's trying to find words to describe to us here on earth the amazing things he has seen in this vision of heaven. And in this chapter, I think he's done magnificently. The drama draws us in. From weeping and despair and wondering, who is worthy? We have this cascading, growing, thundering praise to the Lamb and to the one on the throne. And we too can be part of the chorus of praise. We too can move from despair at the brokenness of our world to adoration and worship of the one who is worthy. I was recently having a conversation with the bishop, and we were discussing various aspects of church life when he asked me a surprising question that I've never been asked before. In the Anglican Church, we have an official statement of faith. It's called the 39 Articles. And these are 39 statements that sum up what the Anglican Church believes. As an ordained person, every time I'm licensed for a role, I have to sign an oath and declaration. And one of the things I must sign is that I believe and in and affirm the 39 Articles of Faith. So this is the surprising question the bishop asked me. He goes, so which is your favourite of the 39 Articles? Now, Kate, you're a clergy. I don't know how you'd go if you were asked that question. But I was like, I studied the articles in college, and I do know that I believe them, and I do know that I mean it when I sign my oath and declaration, but I do not carry around in my head a working knowledge of them, certainly not to the point that I could number them and tell you which was my favourite. So I had to make my apologies to the bishop that I would have to look them up to answer that question. And later at home, I thought, well, maybe I should look them up. It's not a bad question. These articles, you know, do shape our church. So I did, which would be my favourite. And it turns out my favourite is number 11. It's written in Older English, so it's a bit clumsily worded for us today. But Article 11 says, we are accounted righteous before God only for the merit of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, by faith and not for our own works or deservings. Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. This article speaks to our unworthiness. We cannot be accounted as righteous before God through our own efforts. We don't deserve to be in God's presence. Our works cannot make us worthy. Yet, and here's the part that's very full of comfort, through faith in Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, we are accounted as righteous. So back to considering the prayer of preparation. It is indeed good and right to affirm that we are not worthy, as long as we don't stop there. If the pressure is on us to be worthy, if we feel we must present to the world worthiness, all the while knowing deep down that we're not, that is truly a burden to bear. If we feel the pressure to be worthy, while knowing deep down that we're not, it leads to guilt. It leads to shame. It leads to a ceaseless striving or an apathy of despair. We know that we're flawed. We know we have our limits. We know we're not worthy of God, but we are in Christ, and He is worthy. And His nature is always to have mercy. So one of the things we can know about our world is that we have an enemy. And the enemy can be quite strategic about twisting together truth and lie in order to see people bound and oppressed. Feelings of unworthiness, inadequacy, self-rejection, and shame are one of those areas that can be very difficult for people. You see, it's good to recognize that we're not worthy, but sometimes people get stuck there. All they see is their failing. All they feel is the times they've been rejected. All they see is the times that they haven't measured up to their own standards or someone else's standards. And if we're stuck there without acknowledging who we are in Christ, it's a dark place to be. Those ungodly beliefs about ourselves can unwittingly provide an avenue for oppression. We can start living our life out of a script that continually makes these negative statements about ourselves without reference to who we are in Christ. If the prayer of preparation said only that we are unworthy, it would indeed be unhelpful, as the blog writer argued. But that's not all it says. The gospel is good news, and through the gospel we can recognize reality. Through the gospel we can recognize that on our own and by our own merits we're not worthy. But through the gospel we can also know the full reality, that in Christ we are made worthy and we are accounted as righteous. We are loved and cherished by a heavenly Father who delights in His children. We are healed and transformed. We are filled with the Spirit and given gifts for service. We're not perfect. We still fall short. We have times when we reflect on our action or our inaction with regret and need to repent. But if we're in Christ, none of those shortcomings or failures impact on our worth. So let's turn again to verses 9 and 10. If we are in Christ, then none of our failings or weaknesses can impact on our worth because we belong to that Lamb. We belong to the Lamb that was slain, and by His blood He ransomed for God's saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. He made us, His saints, to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and we will reign on earth. That is the truth of who we are. Through our own works and effort, we're unworthy. But through Christ, we are a kingdom and priests serving our God, and we will reign on earth. That message is truly good news, and it should bring us great comfort and joy. So this morning, if you are carrying a weight of unworthiness, you can make a decision to lay that down. If you this morning are carrying a weight of self-rejection, you can make a decision to lay that down. If you're carrying a weight of discouragement or failure or shame, you can make a decision to lay that down. To lay it down and instead take up your true identity in Christ. Your identity as a part of the kingdom of God. Through faith in Jesus, you are accounted as righteousness with a role to play, serving God and serving the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. And from that place, every one of us can join the heavenly throng. We can join the elders on their thrones We can join the living creatures with their wings and their eyes. We can join the tens of thousands of angels. And we can join the creatures in heaven and on earth, all proclaiming together, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." Well, as we move into our time of worship, I want us to start today with a foretaste of heaven. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we are going to declare together these words of verses 12 and 13 here and now. So let's say together the words on the screen. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen." And as we continue in worship, let us adore him and let us lay down our burdens. The Lamb who was slain is Jesus our Messiah. He has borne those burdens for us. He is worthy. So let us worship him.